You know, I think every time I go to a young people's hymn sing, I have to say this to myself or to them, what an encouragement it is to hear you sing. It's not passé to sing. I just love it that the singing out and not just mumbling along. It's great. So thanks for the privilege to be here. Let's pray before we open the scriptures. God, our Father, we give thanks for this happy time together here tonight and throughout the weekend that we've had. We give thanks for that wonderful theme we had through the readings of salvation by grace, a perfect and complete salvation. And we pray, our God, that every soul in this room here tonight would be in the present enjoyment, the present possession of that salvation. We give thanks and we ask help now as we open the scriptures one more time, that it would be a little encouragement to help us continue on in the path of faith. And we pray it in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I want to start. I've got three scriptures I want to turn to. And start with Psalm 130 and verse 3. Psalm 130, verse 3. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. That's one of my favorite verses in the Psalms, that last one. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. That's not the fear of being afraid, of trembling. It's that fear of reverence, that fear of love. And I want to tie this in with a story in Matthew, and I hope I can make it understood. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. If God wouldn't forgive us, where would we be? Would there be any point in fearing him? Not really. We'd be doomed. But there's forgiveness with him. That's the kind of God we have to do with, a God who forgives. So let's go to Romans 4, another of my favorite verses, and verse 16. Romans 4, 16. Therefore, it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. That's where we'll stop. It's of grace. It is of faith that it might be by grace. That is, God's salvation is offered to us on a basis that's not depending on me. We heard a lot about that this weekend. And I want to encourage all of us to go back over those chapters that we had. They're the foundation for Christian life. If you don't have a good grip of what God thinks of you and how you stand before Him, you really can't live as a Christian ought to live. And I think the story that we're going to go to is going to help us with that understanding. God wants us to be sure. If it depended on me, it would not be sure. It'd be really shaky all the time. Because I do pretty good one day, and the next day I don't do so good. And God's salvation is good every day, all day. I can bank on it. I can put my feet on it. And it'll help me when I want to go out and do something for Him. And I hope that, and I know that each one of you, with that new life within you, you want to do something for the Lord Jesus. Matthew 25. We'll just read from verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered them unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants comes and reckons with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, Thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him which hath 10 talents. Well, maybe we'll just stop there. We had a term mentioned in the meetings, eternal security. And the weekend I was here, about 3 weeks ago, Curtis had a nice talk here on peace. Not too far off from eternal security, was it, Curtis? He could have been using that term, I think. That is, because I'm trusting in the Lord Jesus, I know that He's for me. I know that He's going to take me home to be in the Father's house, no matter what. That gives me confidence in my life. I know that He's good. these first two, they made investments. You know, I'm not anybody that knows much about investing, but I think I know this much, that if you make an investment, you are taking a risk. That investment might turn out, and it might not. And so they had somebody else's money, and they were taking a risk with it. Why? I think they trusted him. They knew him. They believed that it was okay to take a risk with what he had committed to them. So they took the risk, and it was worth it. Do you feel like sometimes when you step out to do something for the Lord, you're taking a risk? You might say the wrong thing? I sure do. But it's really helpful to remember that no matter what, how it turns out, he's on my side. He loves me. He cares for me. And I can take that risk. Okay, I fall on my face. He loves me on my face. But the man at the end that got one talent, it wasn't because he just got one talent that he buried it, that he did nothing with it to produce anything for this man that gave it to him. It was because he didn't trust him. He said, "You're a hard man. I'll be in big trouble if I take a risk for you." He didn't know him. I think maybe at this point I'm going to share not exactly a story. It's the project of building the Golden Gate Bridge. Part of that project. I don't know all the details of the Golden Gate Bridge, but it's pretty impressive. The towers are about 740 feet high. The road bed's at least 200 feet above the water. The cables that hold it are 3 feet in diameter. They're painting it constantly to keep it in good shape. Can you imagine working at 200 feet above the water all day? And the roadbed's not made yet. It's just partly there. The framework might be there. You're walking on a beam, and it's 200 feet to the water. You fall, you die. Well, the chief engineer said that they figured at the time, it was in the 1930s, and that bridge was going to cost $35 million to build. And they figured that every $1 million they spent on a bridge project, they would lose a man. And he said, "I'm not going to lose 35 men. So once they got a certain amount of the superstructure up, he ordered a net, built out a 3/8 manila rope, and it was on 6-inch squares, and it was huge, $175,000 worth of net. That was a lot of money back then. And they stretched that net underneath where the men were working mainly. And then they took 400-pound weights, and they threw it into the net just to show the men that it would hold them. The net would sag way down and come back up. They pull the 400-pound weight off of there and say, "See, if you fall, you're going to be okay. You'll get some rope burns maybe, but you'll be okay." So they worked on that bridge, And the inspectors would come by and they would look at those men working on the bridge and they'd say, those men work as though they're not afraid. They're not walking like this on a 6-inch beam. They're just striding along and they get a lot done. So I like to compare that to having eternal security, to being like these first two that trusted their Lord rather than the fellow that didn't trust him. We can get a lot more done if our confidence is in him. Well, there were 19 men that fell into that net. They got saved from falling into the water. And it's too bad what they called themselves. Anybody have a guess? They formed a club and they called it the Halfway to Hell Club. Not a good thing to joke about, right? Anyway, he didn't lose 35 men. There were some men that fell and died, not into the net. They were where the net was not. But they did lose 14 men, not 35. Anyway, my point is, if you don't have that solid peace, open this book and get into it and see what God really thinks of his son. You trusting in him, see what he thinks of you. Because if you do, you're going to find out that you are eternally secure if your faith is in Jesus. And you're going to find out, too, that you don't have to step out with trembling to serve him. You don't have to. Sometimes we still do. But he's not going to beat you if you fall. You might get a rope burn, but you won't die. You'll be okay. And it's worth serving him. So that's all I had. Let's pray. God, our Father, we give thanks for the Lord Jesus, for that work he accomplished. We give thanks that we have this assurance in your word that the believer in him is good for all eternity. And that relationship as children of God is sure and eternal. So we pray, our Father, that everybody in this room here tonight would have the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and that we might be growing in our confidence in him as we would grow in knowing him. That we would trust him both for our eternal well-being and for the difficulties of each day. So we pray this and give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.